Morning, everybody. The scripture today is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 1-11, and I believe it's page 168 in your pew Bibles. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, "Go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you."
Good morning again. So I just want to say a happy Father's Day while I'm up here and give a shout out to my dad who's watching from the live broadcast from Edmonton. It's just so great to have an earthly father here who cares. We know we have a heavenly father, and that is more amazing than any earthly father could be, but it is just that extra blessing to have a mom and a dad who teach their kids God's word, who teach them the way of the Lord and how to follow. And so I just want to honor him this morning. And yeah. So from that passage Jill just read in Joshua 1, we see this threefold repeated phrase: be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous, be strong and courageous. And it's interesting. The reason I'm preaching on Joshua is that we're moving through a series on people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see in both the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy this phrase that the Lord says that his spirit is on Joshua, that his spirit is filling Joshua. And so here we have this man, one of many in the Old Testament, who is filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're looking to see what God was doing in and through him. But I took heart in the fact that here you have this man who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who is preparing the people of God to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land, and yet God still tells him, be strong and courageous. It's this idea that we know God can give us strength and courage. We know that's our God, that he is strong, he is courageous, he can encourage us in the same way. But it was one of those human moments where I realized that, you know what, when we can doubt ourselves, even though us today as believers in God, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's still that realization that we're just a human. We're flawed. We're frail. And so it was an encouragement to me to read that the Lord told Joshua 3 times, be strong and courageous, each time following it up with a different way to do that. Last week, we spoke about Abraham, and I was kind of going after the story that all of the Sunday school class did, their drama about the whole Bible, and that was amazing to see. And I was glad that I didn't have to follow them up for very long before the food came. So, but last week I spoke about Abraham and just about God's promises to Abraham. That God had promised him that he would have descendants as numerous as the sand on the sea. That these descendants would inherit this promised land in Israel. And that through Abraham, every nation on earth would be blessed. Looking back on that, we can now see, oh yes, I mean, we see the Hebrew people as they came out of Egypt. They were numerous. We see that, yes, they did take the promised land, and they did fully take it during the time of King David. We can see that through Abraham's line, through the person of Christ Jesus, that every nation on earth has been blessed. And so looking back on this 4,000 years later, we can see all of these promises that they've taken place. And it is such an encouragement to see that God is true and that God is faithful. But I want to put us for this morning just in the feet and in the sandals, so to speak, of these Hebrew people as they've come out of Egypt. Joshua was among that group, we see. And when God had made the promise to Abraham that his children would inherit the promised land, he also told him right there in Genesis 15 that this would happen after a period of 400 years of slavery in a foreign land. Abraham knew that his descendants would be slaves for 400 years, that they would be oppressed, they would be mistreated, and they would be in exile in a place not their home. That struck a chord with me over the last few weeks as I've been reading and preparing for this and just thinking, like, if God had told me that my children would go through a time of suffering, that would be hard to take. But hearing that the next 400 years of your children are going to go through this period of suffering, that just really struck me as almost overwhelming for Abraham. It's funny, the very next verse after God tells him that, he says, but don't worry about yourself, you're going to die at a good old age, you'll be fine. You get to stay here, you know, you've bought this plot of land for your wife Sarah, and you'll be buried beside her. But there was still this idea, and I just imagine as they go to Egypt because Joseph was there and there was freedom and there was food, and then all of a sudden they start growing and they get oppressed and they become slaves, and thinking, if they remembered these stories from Abraham, that, well, this is going to last for 400 years, that there is this long period ahead of us, and how discouraging that might have been, but even them trusting that God is faithful and that their children or maybe their children's children will finally be the ones to be free. But here we have this group of people who they've just watched God do the miraculous and bring them out of Egypt. Defeat over and over Pharaoh and these different Egyptian gods through the 10 plagues. And now they have this pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night that's leading them out of Egypt. And how exciting that must have been for them to realize that now they get to go and take the promised land. God said he would give it to them. And now that day has finally come. But as I'm sure you all remember, they reach the promised land and they send in 12 spies, one from each of the tribes, to go in and scout out the land. And there's even a song about it. 10 were bad and 2 were good. And they come back, and you find out that 10 of these spies said, all of the spies said, yeah, the land is great. It's full of milk and honey. There's giant grapes. It's full of provision. But 10 of the spies came back and said, but the people there are strong. Their cities are fortified. Oh, and the Anakites still live there. These are the giants. You know, we see later on Goliath. But the Anakites are still there. And so it's just this fear that, oh no, there's strong people, there's fortified city, and there's giants? That just doesn't sound too promising. But then you have the two spies who were faithful to God. You have Caleb and you have Joshua. And both of them testified, no, remember, God has given us this land. God is with us. He's going to do it. It's okay. But the people doubted. The people decided, no, it would have been better for us to have died in Egypt. No, it would have been better for us to have died in the wilderness these last 2 years as we've been walking from Egypt. That would have been better. Now our children are going to be prey to these people. We're going to be slaughtered. And they didn't believe. They decided in this meeting that they were going to elect a new leader from among them and go back to Egypt. I don't know what they hoped to accomplish by going back to Egypt where they had just been slaves. But that was their plan. And they were going to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb because they were standing up for God. And then right as the people decide, okay, this is our plan, this is what we're going to do, the presence of God descends. This pillar of cloud, his Shekinah glory, descends on the camp, on the tent of meeting. And that was where he would meet with Moses. It says in Exodus, he would meet with him there face to face as a man meets with his friend. And so it's just massive pillar of cloud descends into the camp as the people are rebelling. And it's just God saying, Moses, here, now. And summons this meeting. Moses goes in and God says, I'm tired of these stiff-necked people. I have a new plan. I'm going to destroy them all and we'll start again. You will have a bunch of kids. You'll be a great nation. How does that sound? And Moses says, no, God, like, you promised these people. How would it look to the Egyptians if, you know, you free them and then they make it all the way here and then they're all just killed suddenly? That won't bode well. It doesn't look like you are in charge. And he talks to God, and we see in this passage, it's not so much about God wanting to destroy the people and then Moses changing his mind. It's about God changing Moses' mind about who these people are and what they're here for. That Moses takes on this leadership role, that Moses realizes that he is called to lead these people. And God decides to relinquish. He says, no, okay, this unbelieving generation, they think it would be better for them to have died in the wilderness? Okay. And so God tells the people of Israel, if you think it would have been better that you just died in the wilderness these last 2 years, fine. I'll grant you that. I'm going to take you back out into the wilderness, and all of you are going to die. And your children, who you had said would be prey for the Canaanites? No, the Canaanites are going to be prey before them. I'm going to give them the land that I had promised to you as an inheritance. And it's God taking this unbelieving generation and saying, hey, you won't believe me? Let's try again with your children. And that is just such a powerful motif. And then we just see Israel go out and wander for 38 more years in the wilderness, just this spinning around, this wild, this lost, this aimlessness. And then as they come back, we saw in the beginning of Joshua 1 that Moses has now died. Moses has disobeyed God at one point right near the end of the wilderness, and God said, okay, I'm not going to allow you to lead the people in now. You've shown that you wanted to be ahead of me in what I've told you to do, so I'm giving your leadership to Joshua. And Joshua is a man, again, filled with the Spirit of God. And so we see in the beginning of the book of Joshua now, these 2 million Jews, roughly, are back sitting at the entrance to the Promised Land. They've come all this way. It's been 40-odd years since they've left Egypt, since they've come to the Promised Land the first time, and those 10 spies said, no, I don't think we can do it. I don't think God is that big. But now they're back, and Joshua's at the helm, and they reach the Promised Land, and the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Your obedience will bring about the fulfillment of my promise. He's saying, obey me, trust me, and you will see my promise fulfilled. You will see your people, my people, take this land. And then he says, only be strong and very courageous. Follow my word. Meditate on my word. Study it day and night. Knowing who God is and what he has said and letting that rest on your heart to guide your decisions, to guide your every step so that you don't be as the previous generation had and say, no, our God's not big enough to do this. Sure, he brought us out of Egypt. Sure, he destroyed the Egyptian army behind us. He parted the Red Sea. But I don't think he can do this now. They have giants. But God wanted to show that he was stronger than any man, that he was stronger than any nation, that he had made this promise to them. He had made this promise to Abraham 500 years earlier. And now here they are, waiting again for a second time. Joshua then sends 2 spies into the land because he remembers from 40 years ago, 2 is all you really need. So these 2 men go in and he tells them to scout out the land, particularly Jericho. And I just wonder if that was something the Holy Spirit had spoken to him, because we see as these two spies go to Jericho and as they visit the woman Rahab, just something miraculous happened and something just so faith-building. These two spies, they make it into Jericho, they go to the house of the prostitute Rahab, and she decides to hide them there. The people in the town find out that the Hebrews are there, and there's a big manhunt, and they track them down to Rahab's house, and she's hid them on the roof, and she just says, oh, I don't know, I think they left. You should go chase them. You can probably catch them. And so the soldiers run out of the city, and then she goes back to these men, and she says, we know that the Lord has given you this land. We heard about it 40 years ago when he brought you out of Egypt and when he parted the Red Sea before you. Our hearts have been melting with fear, knowing that you're coming and knowing that God has promised this land to you. So if I help you here, will you save me and my family? And it was just what an encouragement to these spies to think 40 years ago, there was all this doubt that maybe God won't do it. Maybe these people are too strong. And here we find that for 40 years, these people have been living in fear, knowing that the Hebrew God is leading his people to his land that he's promised them. That must have just been such an amazing encouragement to these spies, then being able to take that back to the people and say, no, God's prepared the way. These people are ready. They're ready for us to come in, and they're going to flee before us. Like, we just need to trust him. They've been ready for 40 years and waiting. And we're back now. Let's do it right this time. As they move into crossing the Jordan, the very first city across is Jericho. And so God, again, leads his people across the Jordan River on dry ground again. He has the Ark of the Covenant move out ahead of the congregation of people, and the river just stops flowing. And then all of the people cross the river to the other side, again on dry ground, again God showing, I'm making a way for you. You don't even need to worry about crossing a stream. Like, it'll be fine. They get to the other side, and they're within sight of Jericho at this point. Jericho knows they're coming. They know that Hebrew spies have been there. And we know the terror that they must have been feeling. But also, we had seen several other kings right before the Israelites made it into the Promised Land who... they were afraid of them, but they decided all-out war was the best option. So you wonder what the Hebrew people must be thinking as God then calls all of the men to be circumcised because they hadn't done that in the wilderness. So you have all of these men being taken out of commission for several days, several weeks, I don't know. But they're standing there, huge crowd, within sight of Jericho. And then they do this. They're recommitting themselves to God, saying, yes, we will be in covenant with you. That must have been taken a lot of faith on their part to trust that, okay, while all of the men are taking a sick day, will the people from Jericho attack us? Will we be helpless? Will we be slaughtered? Or is God still in control? They've had to put aside their own strength and trust in the power of God. Then God tells them to march, and not just march in siege of Jericho, but just to march around it, that he is going to fight the battle. And so they do this. They march around this fortified city for 7 days. You know the story. And then on the seventh day, after the seventh time that day around the city, they blow their trumpets, and all of the walls, all of these fortification walls collapse. War ensues. They take the city, and again, it's just God re-emphasizing his strength to them, saying, you know what, you didn't trust me, I'm not even going to let you do most of the fighting here, I've got this. And there are some other battles that we see as they move into the Promised Land that God doesn't let them do the fighting, he just drops hailstones on the enemy, and just again, showing to his people that, you know what, I am with you. You don't need to keep trusting in yourself or your own strength or your own numbers or how well you can do or whether your enemies have giants or chariots or what. I am your God. I created all of this. One of the most courageous things that I see is a few chapters later with Caleb. And Caleb had been, again, with Joshua, one of the two spies who went in initially. They're back now. Caleb's about 85 years old. And they're starting to divide up the land and say, okay, well, you're going to go take over all of that, and we'll give, you know, the tribe of Judah this, and Issachar that, and Benjamin that. And Caleb steps forward and says, hey, you know, I was one of the good guys. Remember that? Remember that city Hebron where the giants were? That's mine. I am as strong today as I was 40 years ago. And I want to take that city myself. And so you have this 85-year-old man lead an assault to take this city of the giants. And that to me was just so astounding as this guy, he just has so much faith that, you know what? It's not just that God has given them any old city or any small city or an unfortified city, but a fortified city with giants. And just saying, God's got this. It's not me, it's him, and I've known this all along. The cool thing was, God gave him the city, and then God asked him to give it right back. Hebron was one of the cities that was then given to the Levites because they didn't get a portion of land. They were given cities from within each tribe's inheritance. And then some of those cities were designated as cities of refuge, where if you had accidentally killed someone, you could go there and seek asylum. And Hebron became one of those cities. So a city where then the priests would live and a city where then you could go if you were in need of help. And it's just so neat to see that, again, he trusted in God for the strength to do what God had already promised him, to take this city. And then he trusted God again by giving it up. It's believing that God has each of us here for a plan and a purpose. Like I said last week, each of us have a part to play. Be it small or big in our eyes, each of us have a part to play in his plan. And God gives us strength and courage to do the things that he's asked us to do. And he's asking us to respond in obedience, to step across the Jordan River, to go into the promised land, to see the things, the good things that he has promised us, to be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to lay down our own lives, to be part of his plan. Made me think of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where Christ says to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded us to do. That is the Great Commission. That is our mission as believers here. That's the plan. Christ said that he will build his church. It's not our job to build the church. It's his job. It's just our job to be obedient members of the church. Remember, God says to us the same thing he said to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. I have a plan. Be strong and courageous. Keep following me. Rest on my word. Study my word. Know who I say I am and know who I say you are. And keep following me. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for I'm going with you. Thank you.
Would you stand with us? Through
unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ
just ask your blessings on today. We ask that you would be with everyone as they go forth, that they would continue to live what you have spoken them today, and that they would spread that to everybody that they come in contact with this week. And blessings. In your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.